All eyes remain on Dow 20,000. A look at this and the rest of the market just ahead.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. The surging dollar steadies, bonds show signs of stabilizing, and we remain very close to hitting 20,000 on the Dow. But not everyone is bullish, including RealityShares CEO Eric Ervin. He joins us now with his perspective on the market. Eric, what is your view on the continuing post-election rally? Is this sustainable?
We're, I'd say, cautiously optimistic. I think that the market to date has been really just an all-out rally from, you know, if you think about from 2008 till now, we've seen 7 full years and going on the 8th year, and that's a time to exercise some serious caution. With the political environment, I think that's bullish for the economy as well as for the equity markets, but the valuations need to be able to support that kind of, or at least the fundamentals need to be able to support that kind of growth. And I think if you look at certain segments of the economy, from utilities to telecom to consumer discretionary, that you're going to have a hard time supporting that valuation unless the growth is there. The all-out like quest for yield has now started to falter, and where people were, you know, using dividend-paying stocks as a surrogate for bonds, I think that that's, we've already seen the cracks in that strategy. Even just the other day, when you know utilities were down significantly more than the equity market. And not to mention the volatility that you're experiencing out of some of those stocks. So, A, the valuations can't support the earnings growth. The dividend yield is no longer as attractive as it was now that interest rates are starting to climb. And so you really need to focus on those companies that can actually grow their dividends. That's where we think the best pocket of safety as well as potential for growth is going to be going forward.
So we have some new data on housing this morning, looking at housing starts here. They took a tumble in November, but they're still at a level suggesting steady demand for single-family homes while interest rates remain low. Do you have any thoughts there?
Yeah, when we see the numbers on the surface, you see almost a 20% drop in housing starts, which is very eye-popping. But if you think back to the month prior, we had an incredible growth, and I think everyone was expecting it to be a much more benign housing start this year. The market itself is kind of demonstrating that being up today. But I think the housing market with interest rates, as long as the interest rate is going to be more measured, I think the housing market will continue to be fairly strong. The money in the consumer's pockets and consumer confidence is still quite strong, and housing, you know, typically follows that kind of sentiment. So as long as we don't see any kind of major change with Fed policy, if the Fed continues on a measured basis, if they continue to keep rates somewhere around 1-3% in a on a short-term basis, we don't see any problem there. What will be really telling to watch is just global GDP growth, because, you know, we're not the only economy here, and we really have to be sensitive to stronger dollars and really what's going on in the rest of the world and whether or not they can continue to grow. We still are dealing with the hangover effect from the credit crisis, and there's an awful lot of losses that need to be recouped. So we're not out of the woods by any means, and that's, again, why we're so cautious on the S&P 500 from an equity, just outright long-only strategy. We think people need to just take their foot off the gas a little bit here and look for other asset classes in order to find that potential return.
The dollar is hanging around a 14-year high since the Fed moved on rates this week. What are your thoughts on a strong dollar in the market?
Probably going to continue. I don't see anything that's going to impact that with, you know, any kind of near certainty. It's really, you know, as rates go, so goes the dollar, and as our economy goes, if we're not just getting into that stagflation type economy where high rates and no growth, I think we're starting to see some growth here. So that will just even further yield a stronger dollar against these other economies in the world. So, you know, if the high rates happen and we don't receive any growth. I think the Fed is smart enough to back off and to keep the rates at a more measured pace. But if as long as we're seeing growth and higher rates, then we're just going to see a stronger and stronger dollar.
Bond markets seem to be stabilizing. Are you watching for anything in particular there?
Yeah, so from an investor standpoint, particularly if like a long time horizon type investor, someone who's been using bonds for the past even 40 years as a risk reducer, we think that trade is over. And if anything, there's going to be a significant amount of volatility as rates start to rise. I think there's just been too many dollars that have flowed into bonds and bond funds, and you know, from the retail investor who doesn't fully understand what they own. And then on top of that, those bond fund assets have stretched out in terms of credit quality as well as interest rate risk and kind of burying it in different exotic securities. So as we see the volatility, even just the Barclays Agg being down almost 3%, they, you know, completely wiping out the entire years of return in about a month and a half. So that's the opposite of what people are buying bonds for, and they're looking for safety there. So I think that as that volatility keeps happening, again, with the utility stocks, the bond market, that's going to cause even more volatility, you know, as people either flood out of bond funds or maybe into other vehicles.
We're talking about the market with Eric Ervin, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from The Wall Street Journal.
Today's episode is brought to you by OnePlus, maker of the new OnePlus 3T smartphone, the next generation of the year's best-reviewed phone. Featuring industry-leading processor speeds, 16-megapixel front and rear-facing camera, up to 128 gigabytes of storage, and a premium all-metal build. Plus, the OnePlus 3T has Dash Charge, an exclusive technology that sets a new benchmark in charging speeds. A quick half-hour charge will give you a full day's worth of battery life. Make it yours without a carrier contract at OnePlus.net.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Eric, are you looking at crude right now? And if so, what's your take on it going into 2017?
Yes, so as a firm, RealityShares focuses almost exclusively on companies that can grow their dividends. And so oil has been really in our spotlight for the past year and a half to 2 years, where being at the bottom tier of from a dividend health perspective, not just because of the commodity itself, but also because of the ability to, you know, these balance sheets are so heavily tied to the commodity, and there's very little opportunity for any kind of margin if oil prices go down. So even at $50 a barrel, there's a significant amount of struggle with these companies to pay their dividends and increase them in the future. So at $50 a barrel, give or take, with a stronger dollar and potentially even stronger dollar, it's going to take one heck of an economy to keep the price of oil up, or at least rising from here. If we see that fall, then I think the energy companies are going to have a harder time succeeding, at least from an equity market investor's perspective, and then certainly from a dividend health perspective. We think there could be some cuts there going forward, even though we've already seen cuts in the previous year. So that's really one of our key areas that we focus on, the utilities and the energy companies in our short portfolios right now, because of that sensitivity to oil prices, and therefore, you know, the sensitivity to the dollar and all of the other things that are headwinds against that commodity.
Anything else you're watching for right now, either with the market or upcoming economic data releases?
Main thing is this dichotomy between, like, not all dividend payers are equal. So again, last year we saw the higher quality, lower yielding dividend companies that could grow their dividends didn't really perform much better than the S&P 500 as a whole. And then those lower quality, higher yielding companies had a significant outperformance. You saw almost, at one point the utility sector was the single best performing sector, and that doesn't happen very often. And within 3 months, you know, they were towards the bottom of the heap in the S&P. So if that trend continues, and we think it will, you're going to probably see even more of a rotation out of those higher yielding names that can't really grow their dividends into the Nikes and the Starbucks and kind of some of the higher quality names with a very low yield, but potential to grow those yields. And it kind of makes sense from from an interest rate perspective. If I know rates are rising, then I need to invest in companies that can also increase their dividend, you know, in order to maintain that yield on a going forward basis. But we do see strong dividend growth on the S&P 500 as a whole, where dividend expectations this year are probably around plus 8%. So compare that to the earnings growth of 19%. We think that's well within potential for expected dividend growth.
That's Eric Irvin. He's the CEO of Reality Shares. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong from the Newsroom in New York.
News on the go. Whenever you want it, wherever you want it. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.